Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Removing Spirits, a conversation with Robert Murphy. After coming home from school one day, Robert Murphy found his mother and brother sitting on the couch, terrified. They knew something was in Robert's room. The thing, however, was not of the human or even living form. Something wanted Robert's attention, and day after day would move objects against a specific wall to get it. These events did not terrify Robert. In fact, they intrigued him and led him on a lifelong journey of paranormal exploration.
I've been pretty fortunate in a sense. I mean, I like it, obviously. I dwell in it quite a bit. But what really set me off was actually in high school.
Okay.
I lived five houses up from the school itself, so people would walk up. It wouldn't be uncommon for my friends to walk up, wait for me in my bedroom, whatever. And my mom, she was a very straight-laced woman that, you know, she was a little Bible thumper. That she was always reading the Bible and everything, very clear, never, no drinking, no nothing, and very straightforward and whatnot. And I came home one day, and she was like, you've got a guest in your room. I was like, all right, who is it? She goes, no, it's not a who, I think it's a what. Hey, I'm from the country, I know birds can get in the house or something like that. So I was like, no problem. When I walked through the door, she's sitting on the couch with not putting her back towards anything, along with my brother that's next to her. Neither one of them wanted to get up and give anything a chance to get behind them. They were both very terrified. So I go up into my room, and basically everything on the west side of the room would be smashed against the east side of the room. For a week straight, anything I put on that side, it would happen again. So to me, I thought it was fascinating. At that point, I'm all in.
So what is your family? Are you hearing these things happening? Are you hearing them move? Or is it just you go get home and everything's moved?
Yeah, my family members could hear it actually being moved. You know, they would hear things just being destroyed upstairs. Mm-hmm. And so I would put more ammo over there. I'd go ahead and put more stuff to see if it would happen again.
Yeah.
And it was always while I was out of the room. It wasn't while I was in the room. So I was always gone when the activity would actually happen. But we moved a lot when I was growing up. So we had activity, different types of activity. But at that point, I'm old enough at that stage of my life to know, okay, look, there's no explanation why something is going to go from this side of my room to that side of my room and be, you know, partially embedded into the wall being thrown so hard.
Your mother, you get this message when you get home, you know, there's something going on up there. How did she find this out? Did she just walk into the room to put some socks away and then like everything's over on one side of the room
Okay. No. It was too much noise. She was not going upstairs.
Oh, it was the noise itself. Okay. So what was she suspecting at first? Is she thinking there's an animal in your room or something? If she's not going in there and looking, and she's very straight-laced and, you know, ghosts are, you know, that's really not in the realm of options. What is she thinking is happening, and how do you relay the message to her?
Well, we actually, again, because we have lived in several different locations, we've had a lot of active locations. I wouldn't call them haunted. Nobody was getting hurt or anything. Mm-hmm. So she did understand that there's a possibility.
Okay.
And that wasn't the first activity that happened in that house. We've all experienced quite a bit of things in the house, but that was the loudest and the most, I guess for a lot of people, it had been a very, you know, aggressive sounding because of hearing so much repetition of noise and things being banging and slammed against the walls and whatnot.
Yeah. She's realizing and accepting there's something going on up here with all the objects moving around. What is going through your mind? I mean, obviously, you know, you're finding it intriguing. Are you scared at all at this point? Are you concerned? What is going through your mind?
No, I'm fascinated. I want to know what, and that's why I keep reloading the area. I keep putting more and more things back at that area because I know who's coming in and out of our house.
Yeah.
I mean, by all means. So I know it's not like somebody going up and playing a prank or anything. The first time, I mean, it's, you know, it's a crazy wow sensation. It's hard to believe. I mean, how do you, my room was, you know, it's an elongated room because it has the eave of the house that comes down and whatnot. So it's kind of an elongated room. So how do you, you know, I don't expect things to be traveling 14, 15 feet across a room.
Sure.
Much less to go ahead and be breaking them or anything. So can it happen again? So now here I am going, okay, let me put some more stuff over there.
So how does this situation progress?
That actually only lasted for 2 weeks.
Okay.
For 2 weeks, there was, as far as the noise up there, and we just treated it, honestly, the house, the entire house got to a point where we just called it George.
Okay.
You know, we actually gave it a name, said who it was. It would not anything related to anybody that we knew at the time, but with so many different people, even when I remember my mom's brother actually came over to spend the night and he was going to stay a couple of nights. Well, he ended up staying longer. And then the very next morning he was so dead tired. And he's like, you know, he ended up sleeping on the couch. He's like, I stayed up. I don't know who was walking back and forth across the floor right next to me, but I know there was a person there. I know there was somebody there that was, you know, and I was not going to go to sleep while this guy is sitting there. He couldn't see him, but he could hear him just walking clearly right next to him.
Yeah.
So with everybody, you know, not even being aware of it, and they would come in and have an experience, got to a point where we just laughed. I mean, to us, nobody was being hurt.
Mm-hmm. So you're having these experiences, they're going on, and you give it a name, George. Are you wondering, you know, who is this George at the time? You know, obviously we're talking several years back. So, you know, the availability of what we have today for some research, you know, not necessarily, you know, at our fingertips, but are you digging in? Are you trying to find why this thing is there or what its purpose is? Where, how does that continue to go for you?
I actually did go ahead and try to research at the time, regardless of age. I mean, I was only 18 at the time. But I did go ahead. I wanted to check. We had a neighbor that lived and knew the people who had built the houses on one in which that we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And come find out, there was an old baseball player back from the Senators who ended up dying in the house. That's the only one we knew died in the house. So we attributed it to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years later, you find out that that's not the only possibility. But
sure,
at the time, that was our mentality.
When you look back on that initial experience all these years later, And not just that specific experience of all of the objects moving around in your room, but the collectiveness of everything that happened for you in that house and your family. What do you think it was? Who do you think it was? Do you still think it may be that simple explanation of this is the individual who died in the house, or was it someone or something else?
No, I'm not so sure that it was actually that particular individual, because, you know, from the experience that we have now, we know we only go back so far as what we typically actually run into active hauntings or anything. You're basically looking at like your grandparents, and it's not going back, but so far back, date and time, as far as for intelligent. Now, looking back at it, something was obviously trying to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Without a question, I mean, some of the activity, I believe, was just residual. It was frozen in time. It was the event had already happened, whatever. Some of the sounds, things actually moving, we know that's intelligent. So I know now where, you know, things, I don't usually pay attention. I'm one to try to blow things off. I'm regardless of being a paranormal investigator, I'm still skeptic. I'm not going to jump at it and say, oh yeah, you know, I'm trying to find the other reason why. And by doing that, after you blow things off for so long, you know, if you're on the other side, you're not getting my attention, you're going to try some other way. And eventually, that way is going to seem pretty loud or, you know, obtrusive coming at you. You know, and it's not always meant in an aggressive way or, you know, something mean or anything, but other times it can be.
What do you believe the purpose of getting the attention was for the spirit that was in your house?
That I honestly do not know to this day. I would really like to go back and visit that location to find out. At the time, I wasn't in a mature enough state of mind as far as I was intrigued by it. I wanted to see it. I definitely enjoyed experiencing it, even though it was, you know, for everybody else, they were like, no.
Sure.
Didn't have to worry about anybody going in my room anymore.
Sure. You said something that really kind of intrigues me, and I, if I'm understanding right, I'm just kind of curious as to what you mean by it. You say, now we realize we only go back so far in terms of what? Are you saying that the conscious spirits or ones that are not residual, do they only go back so far in terms of timeline, in terms of when they were haunting or when they were alive, and then the ability to actively haunt? Or what do you mean by we only go back so far?
Well, I put together a team several years ago, about 10 years ago, and I'm really big on field experience. And field experience, I've got a fantastic medium that she's incredible. So, you know, I do anything I can to go ahead, and I get confirmations for things she picks up on. I'm always looking for confirmation. Mm-hmm. And regardless of the EVPs or the information she provides, or when we do it live, we get a lot of other input from people with abilities. When you actually look at the information we're getting and who we're in contact with, I've never come across, human speaking wise, I've never come across anything that has been more than two generations old, basically. Like my parents' parents at my age. So basically go back two or three generations.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.